Welcome to the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. Tonight, we are beginning our new book by author Neely Fuller Jr. We will be using the studying from the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept, a textbook, workbook, thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism and white supremacy. And accompanying that book, we will be using his United Independent Compensatory Code System concept, a compensatory counter-racist codified word guide, which he published in 2010. And we'd like to welcome y'all to the meeting tonight. And I'm Charles, and my wife, Jolivet, is on the wheels of steel. Say hello.
Hello. We have Brother Amin is with us for the meeting tonight. Brother Amin, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
And we also have someone who hasn't been to the meeting in a while, Miss Dawn. So glad to have you back joining us.
It's good to be here. I miss you guys.
Hey. All right.
Well, all right. Tonight we will begin by just familiarizing ourselves with both resources. And but the main part of our, introduction would be on racism and the law of compensation. And I think from there we can be able to anchor our thoughts and our approach as we journey through this text over the next 12 to 15 weeks of intense study. And I think this is a suitable transition going from the ISIS papers, being that the two authors, Dr. Wells and Mr. Fuller, have worked so closely together by analyzing racism as a system of behavior of domination of all the so-called non-white people on the planet. Okay. General notes, he has on page 13 for all those who have a text.
Our text for the day.
Our text for the day. I'm going to read the general notes. Okay, he said, if a system produces injustice, then the rules that maintain that the system are incorrect. Even though these same rules, if used to maintain a just system, would be correct rules. All right. Does anybody have any questions about that?
No.
Okay. Right on. All right. White supremacy is an incorrect system that promotes injustice. Any person who willfully helps to establish, maintain, expand, and or refine a condition of white supremacy, and or who does not at all times strive to speak or act against this condition is a criminal and or an agent of criminals.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know anybody who participates in the development and expansion of white supremacy and his maintenance, that is refinement, is a crook. And all those who may say, you know, well, certain people, you know, like we know people who come from our community or our ethnic stock who work on the behalf of these criminals, they are criminals as well.
Mm-hmm. Whether knowingly or unknowingly.
Right. Because without those crooks, none of all of this white shit would be possible.
Mm-hmm. way to put it.
You know. And we can go.
All right. All comforts that come to any white person as a direct or indirect result of the practice of white.
Did I do that?
No, that was me. I just loaded the page and I got to turn the speaker off and sound came. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
All comforts that come to any white person as a direct or indirect result of the practice of white supremacy are comforts unjustly received. And all them loans, all those big houses you see when you ride down the old money section or new money section of the European colonial neighborhoods is all blood money. You must see it that way. And unless you see it that way, you will tolerate the injustice. And that's the most important thing for us to do. All right? All persons who directly or indirectly practice white supremacy are equal to one another in that practice. Now, I'm going to pause right there. Because he has all white persons. He is white in brackets.
Oh, I was thinking that you need to add black in that too.
Right. So he's saying he meant all white persons are equal
all
to one another in practice. Okay. And he says this is true because each individual act of racism is interrelated with all other acts of racism. I guess I would interpret that as saying that they have to cooperate with maybe even the hardcore racists.
Mm-hmm.
So those who may be softcore or what they term liberal or whatever, the racism wouldn't be as efficient or functional if it wasn't for that kind of mutual cooperation between the extreme and the less extreme races.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think people do light duty and then say that the light duty is not part of the whole job. You know, it takes somebody to type, it takes somebody to do each part that brings you to that point. Everybody's cooperating.
Exactly.
Cooperation. Just like with any other major organization or company or, you know, big wheel, it takes all. Just like you said, you know, they make you all feel important because you are. You know, the person who is just doing the little sideline work is just as important as the one out there doing the foot duty. You know, if you're playing any part in it, you are just as guilty as the ones who are up there orchestrating it, because you're the ones who are help carrying it out, in essence, doing the dirty work.
Right.
When I was in the military, the soldiers used to like to say that we're not the ones who gave the order.
Mm-hmm.
We're forced to carry it out, but you're still a participant.
Right.
And, you know, you're still there.
Right. They're not, right. They're not forced
I was just going to say, I can relate to that too, because my dad was in the Marines, and I used to always say that he wasn't in the Marines, that we were, the whole family. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like you're all bound by that, you know, by that oath or whatever.
So right, you complete.
One person in your family is tied to that, then you all are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right, I like what I mean brought up. That it is something that people in the military service say that they are forced. However, when a soldier, I think Javis, you remember when some soldier he refused to do some duty in
mm-hmm.
a Hawaiian guy and they put him in prison, I believe.
Yes, they did.
Right. I mean, so they can refuse. They're just their consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them don't want to pay the consequence.
Yeah.
You know, that, but, you know, there is a, they can dissent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There we go. Then he said this means that all white persons who practice racism in any form are equally as guilty as those white persons who practice racism in all forms. Racist man and racist woman, by functioning as the white nation, that is, white supremacists collectively, and by acting to maintain, expand, and or refine the existence of racism, have more than any other creatures in the known universe violated the natural law of compensation. And by doing so, they have deliberately forced and or directed all other creatures, particularly non-white people, to do the same. I think we remember discussing the Willie Lynch letter and how the author disclosed how they would disturb the natural order of the Negro.
Mm-hmm.
By the conditioning that they would impose upon the Negro, and they mentioned how it would take approximately 300 years. I don't know how they would know this unless somebody had done it before. And so we know that they have been doing these kinds of mind control experiments since the early Roman times. So it's not at all unlikely that they would have this kind of information. Though the text of the Will Lynch letter is arguably an authentic 18th century document, the fact still remains that it was a skill or method to the madness that they created. Now, since we just mentioned the law of compensation and racism, let's go right on into it. He asked the question, how does the law of compensation relate to racism? One thing I'd like to ask, what is the law of compensation? So, he goes into what is compensation and how it gets to be a law on page 8. So he said, compensation is a law. He said it is a law of nature. It is a law of existence. And he also asks the law of mathematics and is the law of laws. He says every thought is a compensatory thought and so forth. So his illustrations are, a person compensates for his or her lack of ability by relying on the ability of other person or things. So we can say a person may compensate for ability to move fast by riding a horse or a mule. Or they may compensate for lack of strength by using mechanical advantage, that is, by using levers and pulleys and ramps to be able to achieve the objectives when doing work. These are all my expressions because he is a bit difficult and sometimes incoherent. But anyway, he says, it's important to know and understand that the word compensation is at best a word that can be used to describe a condition that does exist and or desire for the condition that does not exist or has never existed. So to use the word compensation may or may not sometimes promote contradiction and or confusion. So for that reason, both the word concept of compensation should, like all other words and concepts, be used to reveal truth and to produce justice and correctness. Okay, any thoughts on that? Is everybody abundantly clear on compensation and how it is a law that people must do it in order to use, you know, compensate for their lack of, you know, being able to do things themselves, that is. Okay, now he has a racism. What is racism? And so he has a large section of questions and so forth. So we'll just kind of get into his very brief example of a discussion on that on page 6. He names two facts about racism. And then the rest is commentary. So the white people of the known universe are collectively the smartest and the most capable of all people. Number two, the white supremacists are the smartest and the most capable of all the white people. Sounds almost exactly the light, but he was saying collectively in the first one, and the second one he was speaking individually. And he spoke just meaning about white supremacists in contradistinction to white people in general. Of all white people in of the known universe, both white and non-white, those white people who practice racism have the greatest ability to use truth and to use it in such a manner as to produce justice and correctness in all places, in all areas of activity, in the shortest period of time. Okay, my thoughts on that would be that he's saying, being that they, since they have developed a really good understanding of how to deal with people and observing other people, that they have the greatest capacity to manipulate reality, because that's what truth is. Truth is ultimate reality. Well, so since they understand themselves to a certain better than other people understand them, doesn't necessarily mean that they understand themselves better than anybody could. Dr. Wells, I believe, I would say in her text from the last chapter we just discussed, she like broke the code on white people in a way that they could not, at least didn't publish about themselves. So I would say that she succeeded in understanding white people in a way that they do not understand themselves. And Dr. Livers, too, in her book, Biblical History of Black Mankind, published in 1999, Shahar Publishing. And their ability to manipulate reality, I would say, has been used to produce lawlessness, despotism, and every other kind of criminality that and human suffering that we all experience. But that is their objective, and they continue to do so because they like it. Anybody else have any comments on that last section?
Pretty much.
All right. Next paragraph. He says, the white people who practice racism know that they could, if they chose to do so, produce justice and correctness among the people of the known universe. They are smart enough to do this. They also know, however, that in the process of producing justice and correctness, they would also eliminate racism. Knowing this, they have chosen not to produce justice and correctness. They prefer to continue to practice white supremacy, though they fully understand that in order to practice white supremacy, they must do so by promoting lies, when he has falsehood, but I'm just going to play it like this, right? Lies, injustice, and just overall general wrongness. I'm paraphrasing. They apparently have judged that white supremacy is better than revealing truth. They apparently believe that the value of white supremacy is at least as valuable as the practice of justice and correctness. To them, the promotion of white supremacy has proven to be, in many respects, better than justice and better than correctness. So the white supremacists have a total need to be and to feel supreme over all non-white people at all times. This supremacy is what they value the most, though they know that it can only be maintained by promoting lies and injustice and wrongness through the skilled use of deceit, direct violence, and or the threat of direct violence or indirect violence. The masters of racism have chosen to continue to this practice for no apparent basic reason than to be proud of themselves for causing others to be fearful of them and to be dependent upon them. Such a relationship is non-just and incorrect. This is not the way that any people should relate to one another. Anybody have any commentary on that?
Well, I think that's the way it was in Europe all along, and once they broke out of Europe, it became the ones on the bottom. You know, Europe was always. We're looking at this thing now where people are talking about the 99%. That's part of their culture. They were always doing that. It was always 99% was on the bottom, and 1% was on the top throughout European history. It's always been that way, especially particularly during the feudal system that they had there. You know, now we're standing here talking about 99% when that's part of their history. Is that they've always been like now that they have us, you know, we're another layer on the bottom. You know, everybody else continues to be just another layer on the bottom. I laughed when you first mentioned that because it sounds like he was saying, you know, the old comic book thing where they say somebody's using their powers for evil instead of good.
Right.
And so they have a clear understanding of what's going on. They have the ability to bring about justice, but they prefer to use it for evil.
Right. Because they created this racist paradigm that had never existed before. Nobody knew what it was but them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could tell, you know, encounter people, you know, whom they had been, you know, when I started studying Barry Fell's work about, you know, transatlantic seafaring of Celtic peoples, and it became clear to me that European, you know, white people were not strangers at one particular time to other nations, other nationalities. So, you know, they had seen white people before and had not had any negative experiences. So when Julius Caesar had dismantled the Roman, the Celtic navies in 55 BC, there was a big gap between when, you know, Europeans would encounter non-white people, you know, across the Atlantic. So from 55 BC to, let's say, the latter 15th century. No, that's early. Mid 15th century, because we understand, what's his boy name? Columbus and his brothers were not, they had already been to the Caribbean. They already had forts off the of Ghana in 1491. That's before they claimed to discover, you know, the American 1492, which they only went to the Caribbean. So what I'm getting at is that it had been over 14 centuries since people had seen white folks across the Atlantic. Now, they had been seeing them in Africa continually for 1,400 years. And then when they come back, they bring back a totally new concept. And even in their dealings with Africans, totally new concept of this racism. And they was like, hey, you know, everything's cool, business as usual, and let's put you in these chains and unleash the most devilish system of oppression that the world would ever know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at racism as it unfolded, you know, throughout time, and a few of us have the patience to want to look at it that way.
I think the thing that traps everyone is the opportunity to move. You know, the opportunity to move up. Because if you look at it, all white people aren't in that upper echelon, whatever. They're not up there. They don't have the opportunity to move between levels. You know what I'm saying? They're just, I mean, if they were realistic with where they are, they're on the same level as us. They just have the opportunity to say that they're white and they're afforded more privileges because of that. But they don't want them up there either. It's a very small percent, you know. And those ruling powers, I mean, I don't know. I just think that they're just like the pawns. They're just like us, but they just don't see it.
Yeah. I know you're saying that they are the pawns in their struggle. However, they all perceive a certain benefit.
Mm-hmm.
People like us don't understand.
I think the difference too is that they think that they already have it. They see it and they know that they'll have it if they keep working for that goal for them. They'll have it before we will, because just like you have, like the post you put on there earlier about the black members of the Ku Klux Klan or whatever, you know, that is a joke. That is like, come on now. You know, did you really think that you were actually a part of the Brotherhood? Do you think that, you know? And to some extent, that's how they look at them. Some of those are just foot soldiers. You're just out here doing our dirty work. And it's only a select few who will enjoy the fruits of all of this, you know. And they have,
yeah.
And they're mistakenly thinking that they are up there too, and that's what's crazy because they think that they're on the same level as the ruling majority, and you are not. You're just another nigga, basically. You just don't even know it. You're just a white nigga, you know. But they want to hold on to that and think that it's, you know, that they're doing something with it, and it is not. And that's what's
the
joke, you know.
Okay, thank you for that observation. And we'll hear with this paragraph, and then we'll share thoughts from this word guide. Those white people who practice white supremacy should stop doing so. They should strive to become wise instead of being satisfied with being smart. The knowledge and understanding that they possess is a gift, and that gift should not be wasted on what fundamentally an ego-producing enterprise. It is incorrect to squander the gift of knowledge and understanding on the promotion of racism. All knowledge and all understanding should be used to produce a universe in which no people, white or non-white, abuse each other. The basic duty of each and every person in the known universe is to find truth and to use truth in such a manner as to produce justice and correctness at all times and in all places and all areas of activity. In practice, there is no other way for any person in the known universe to justify his or her existence. My thoughts are that I don't think neither understands what kind of knowledge what they did to get the knowledge that they have. And the kind of knowledge that they have is a direct reflection of the path that they went to get it in its intended use. If you would look at it that way, he would see that they have no intention of producing justice, nor when they sought to acquire that knowledge, use it to create justice and harmony and love and peace. Now, this is, and that's the I guess that was a great introduction to the textbook that he wrote in 1969. And he has a word guide. Basically, it's like a glossary of terms that are commonly used words that when you're thinking, I guess when you're listening to news reports or reading newspaper or having conversations with people about race, you can attempt to define, get a clear definition of the words in order to bring clarity to your conversations or at least to your mind, if not to that particular conversation. So in the introduction, or the preface rather, page 7, their preface, item number 12, he discloses this: the essential function of this word guide initially is to assist in producing compensatory counter-racist clarity as it pertains to the use of words and in regard to compensatory counter-racist thought, speech, and action. The words that are used in any and every language should be carefully examined by those who use them. Every part of every form of communication should be studied, and all parts of every form of communication should promote thought and speech that best helps to inspire action that will swiftly and efficiently result in replacing the system of white supremacy with a system of justice. This should be the result of what happens when the use of any and all languages, past, present, and future, and or for as long as white supremacy or other forms of non-justice exist. It is important to study new words or new definitions of words to find if they do or do not appear to be for the purpose of producing the effects that are harmful to the production of justice that is balanced between people. Okay, and then number 14 on the same page, he adds, it is correct to study the many ways that all words are used by those persons who are suspected of practicing racism. Many words in what is called the English language are carefully designed to be used in such a manner as to glorify whiteness, as it is associated with the system of white supremacy. So during the existence of the system of white supremacy, nearly all things associated with darkness and or dark people are regarded as non-correct, foreboding, and are most worthy of ridicule. Words such as light, bright, damn near white, enlightened, fair, etc. are taught to be used in association with that which is favored. Words such as dark, dim, dim-witted, dirt, dirty, dust, dull, grime, tarnished, and etc. are taught to be used in association with that which is not favored. So he said, and words and their definitions should be studied carefully by all those who are affected by their use. All words, when used, have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect. The system of white supremacy functions in a manner that causes many non-white persons to choose not to study and not to learn how important words are in preventing the production of justice. The white supremacists have proven that they do not approve of the use of any words in any manner that they seem to not have the effect of helping to... I'm sorry, I think I skipped over there some words there. He said the white supremacists have proven that they do not approve of the use of any words in any manner that seem to have the effect of helping to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. So according to the compensatory counter-racist logic, there is reason to believe that if the victims of white supremacy, by their own will, skill, control, and ways that they use words, it will have the effect of countering the ways of the white supremacists use words and will help themselves maintain, expand, and refine the system of white supremacy. So this word guide is going to help you interfere with them being able to refine and maintain and expand the white supremacy system, that is control over your life and domination and exploitation of you and your descendants and ancestors. And so we will continue to explore these, both of these texts, basic concepts, over the coming next 2 or 3 months. By the time we finish this book, we should all know very well how white supremacy affects us in all areas of people activity. Anybody have any thoughts or suggestions on the materials that we the things we talked about this evening?
I agree with the word, the idea of words, the way we choose our words has to change. We go along with certain, our vocabulary has been changed to coincide with what he was talking about, where we end up degrading ourselves with the words we've been taught to use.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like enlightenment.
Curses, pronouncing curses over ourselves, too.
Right. Right, because we don't really know what light is or what darkness is, but we'll say enlightenment is good, and sometimes I use endarkenment. People look at me like, oh, he's just saying that, trying to sound intellectual. They don't get
and,
it.
And also words like fair, you know, if this person is fair-skinned, like it's fair.
Right.
We have to change our words.
All right.
I just posted an article today on the Women's Song community page about, scientists, because now that scientists know it, I guess it's, acceptable information for us to receive unto ourselves and know that, the master has spoken. But what it essentially said was that scientists can now prove that words and frequency can actually reprogram DNA. And that's something that has been said for many years.
Isn't that what we say even the picture that you have of the woman's manifesto showing the child in the mother's womb what she's reading, and it's automatically going to his brain frequency. You know,
right.
Why are they trying to reinvent the wheel? We already know this.
Well, they have to validate us. They have to validate everything. You know,
that's part of white supremacy.
Right.
Because it has to come from them in order for us to accept it. And what
many
really
of us
aggravates me, when I say us, I'm talking about the us, it's not the us.
But even them.
The
in order for white people to, their white sages, their sages must approve it.
Right.
And see, that's what every culture really does. That they, when they write us a body of work, and they depend upon the wisest people from their particular group to evaluate the material and determine if it is good for them as a group. Now, black people, see, we come have a peculiar position that we don't depend on our own scholars to determine what's best for us to think or understand.
Mm-mm.
Peculiar point of view in our best interest. We just look at whatever white folks say, and that's good enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
But they playing a game of white supremacy, and we playing white supremacy too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And see,
now,
in
some instances where I see it work in our favor, I see that it's good enough for my grandma, or it's good enough for my mama, so it's good enough for me. So what? It takes one person to get in there and just change that flow of thinking. You know what I'm saying? Just to push the waters back and let it ebb out, to watch the ebb and flow. And then that's how you change it, because it's only a cycle until we put something in the middle of it to break it. And we need enough of those cycles in different circles in
mm-hmm.
order to make it, to make a jive, really. I mean, so we'll
see,
all be
we
affected,
will go
you know?
To, but see, this is the trick. We will say, if grandmama said it is good and, it was good enough for my mama, but only if that idea, concept, jives with white supremacy.
Right.
If it has to fit, and we identify the spirit of white supremacy, and we are drawn to that.
And unconscious levels, that's what we do.
If grandma,
and that's what I'm saying, too. It takes one, because we're the new grandmas, we're the new moms, we're the new, if it was good enough for her, if she stepped out and she said, okay, this is not what's up. I'm not taking this anymore, because we have a generation that's looking at us. you know, and that's why I'm saying the change is going to come in. Because just like how we saw it, you know, with our grandmas and our moms, and we were like, okay, it was good enough for them to a certain extent until we were able to experience better, you know, and we, you know, sometimes, and I'm going to keep it real, we had to sneak a book, you know, to go outside of, because it's been times in my house where my daddy was like, oh, you don't believe in this? This is in the Bible. Then you know what I'm saying? You're going to hell. What are you worshiping? What are you thinking? You know,
but
and it's not that I was going against that. It was that I was wanting to know further than what was being spoon-fed to me by somebody who was spoon-fed by a racist white supremacist, you know.
But see, like, for example, I'm going to give a quick example. If you think about people who say, my grandmama always had this jar of some kind of nasty herbal something, and whenever we were sick, she'd give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that. They go and take their children to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they don't refer back to those old remedies that mom and them used to use.
Right.
Well, I'm one of them mom and them,
because
I got to cover that with some whiskey in it.
Right, but those things aren't approved. They are Mr. Charlie approved.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that they want to go back and say, my mama did this, are the ones that fall in line with white supremacy. And so that's
mm-hmm.
a problem. We can't just defer to that. We have to actually learn this information. We have to learn this. It's almost, it's unfortunate, but it's like we are having to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We are. Because we don't value our scholars.
Right.
And
I mean, brought up
like
an
issue. You said those home remedies and things like that, like how you said mama had a jar, this and that. My mama had a jar with peppermint and whiskey. And we didn't go to the doctor. She saved money. We took that peppermint, a spoonful of peppermint and whiskey. It might taste nasty and burn your throat, but it worked. But at the same hand, you know, you have a doctor telling you, no, this is child abuse and neglect or whatever, because you were exposing your child to alcohol. So now you have to take them to the doctor, you know, or whatever, for that $75 for the initial visit, and then go to a pharmacist where you have to pick up a prescription for God knows what's in the prescription that ain't really helping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I see what you're saying with that, you know. It's just it's a cycle to help them make money. And if they're not making money off of it, we're no use to them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exploitation.
What you're saying, Amin said what?
He mentioned about the Algerians, how they were someone who had been in France, and the French wanted to deport them back to Algeria. And the French was talking about how, the Algerians were saying how their thinking had been changed. And the French wanted to dump them back off because they had been brainwashed,
mm-hmm.
like we have. And see, that's what I was you were illustrating, Jalavid, about how our thinking has been changed to the point we don't rely on what's good for us, what's in our best interest, what's good for us, you know, in every way, you know. And so our thinking is we learn how to free our minds and reprogram ourselves. That's what this book club is all about. It's about exploring everything that's been written primarily by black folks.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
About racism, about white supremacy, and to analyze ourselves and use these texts, with ancient and modern, to put ourselves back together again. And that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're confronting ourselves.
We can stop answering every question. We can stop ending every sentence with, well, that's the way it is.
Right.
Oh, that's the way it out with me.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's not that way.
That's right. It's not that way.
Right.
And people won't, they claim they won't change, but they don't want to change themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to go and change everybody else. Like, we hear people want to go to Africa and make Africans more like America.
Yeah.
Telling people in Africa what they're doing in terms of their culture, how they relate to each other, how they structure their families and marriage. Oh, y'all are whack.
That's insane.
Bringing that imperialist Western thinking and why they get what draping it in kente cloth.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And like, those Africans don't know that Americans do that when they come there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have a reputation for that now.
Right. And so that's, you know, we and those same people don't want to go through this process. They don't want to study this book and see themselves and really start and making these strategies and these tools and skills a part of their own lives and change the way they see the world and see themselves, most importantly.
This is a hard process. Introspection always is, but it has to be done.
Right.
But all right. Is that it?
That's it. You can run any PSAs, versions if you like.
No, we're good.
All right.
All right. It's been real. Next week, same bat station, same bat time. We'll be right here. We're going into chapter one or what?
We're going to describe the section where he'll just describe the use of the book.
Oh, okay. Oh, how to use the word guide.
Right. No, not the word guide. The United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. So that's what the next meeting is going to be on that.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, all right. We'll see everybody next week. Thank you for coming.
All right.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.